It's now 8:33 p.m. on May 31st, 2019, and this is a praise, Father. Once again, He has been so faithful to answer my prayers. Thank you, Jesus Christ. And He saved me out of this really, really difficult testing of my faith and allowing me to be tempted. And again, it's amazing how these temptations always come at like the last hour, at the darkest moment, just like when Jesus is on day 40 and Satan shows up and says, "Hey boy, you hungry? See those stones? Those could be delicious hot bread if you'll just do your little miracle magic." And as best as I can tell, these torments, and they were really torment. I mean, I was on the verge of tears. I mean, this is amazing. I have peace now. God has given me rest and peace, and it's only been about, let's just call it 18 hours, because it was just this afternoon. So less than 24 hours, all I had to do was to endure. And I hope this is an encouragement to other people that are going through terrible temptations, whatever it is, to sin or to stop believing God or whatever their terrible temptation might be. It's always in the day of evil, stand. And after you've done everything you can to stand, stand. And I praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. This is a testimony. I mean, even though no circumstances have changed, I was tormented in my heart. I really believe God allowed these emotions and these questions and these thoughts to be stirred up in me. He's allowing me to be tried. And once again, I just hung in there and God has proven faithful. And I'm sitting here getting ready to go to bed tonight. And I'm like, I cannot go to bed without giving thanks and praise and recording God's faithfulness to answer my prayer, because this was a terrible torment. And now I'm going to go to bed tonight and sleep in peace. And I only saw Persis one time today and nothing has changed, but my heart has changed. And I'm back being still before the Lord, waiting patiently for Him. And wow, some of the testimonials are just remarkable of what God's doing with this. I mean, I could have never imagined this. I didn't know why Father was really having me. I didn't know the impact. I knew kind of why He was having me do this, but I didn't realize this kind of an impact would happen so soon. And the devil hates it. So he's continuing to strike and I'm continuing to just put my head down. But today was rough. Oh, Jesus, today was rough. Yesterday afternoon and today was so rough. I hated having these thoughts of feeling like I was giving up completely on Persis and starting to visualize having a future wife, realizing my wife's been dead a long time. I'm unequally yoked. She is standing against me. She doesn't even want to be in the marriage. She doesn't love me anymore. Just let her go. God's allowing this to happen for a reason. He allowed Elizabeth Elliot to have both of her husbands lost, died, and she ended up remarrying a third time, and it was a blessing, and there's all kinds of thoughts going on in my head, and man, I was so sad thinking about giving up on Persis, but I was in the throes of temptation. It was a terrible, terrible temptation. Like, it's all over, give up, let her go, and I'm just praying, God, help me. I just cried out, Jesus, Jesus, help me. I mean, I literally just all day on my walk in the afternoon, just praying, Jesus, please help me, Lord. Don't let me fall into this. Don't let me give up, Lord. God, please help me. And I couldn't do anything to affect my heart. As much faith and obedience as I have given to God, as much as I preach Him, as much as I know His Word, as much as I know Him, as much as I know how to pray, I could not stop this feeling. It was on me. And the only thing I could do is to humble myself before Jesus Christ and cry out, God, have mercy on me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Help me. And you know what? He did. I just had to stand. And you know, how many recordings have I made over the years in my personal journal entries of times like this where it looked like I was going to cave in and collapse under any number of circumstances, and all I had to do was to stand and be willing to be uncomfortable that day. That the feelings of, see, the thing is when I was feeling this way, it felt like it was going to be on me for a long time, and it's so painful that I was like, God, I don't know how long I'll be able to handle this, Father, please. And the terrible, tempting thoughts, quit, give up, get rid of the ministry, give up on Persis, leave, da-da-da-da, do this, do that, the other. And these thoughts. And then when you can't feel you know, God's presence and you can't see the light and it feels very dark, it's so easy to want to just give in to those. But if we'll just stand, so many times I've seen this, that you have to just, Ephesians 6, stand in the face of evil and be patient and wait for God to bring relief. And I am so thankful. Hallelujah, I'm so thankful, because this is a war. This is a war for my mind. It's a war to flip me over. It's a war against God's glory and to ruin my ministry, to ruin my testimony, to ruin my marriage, to ruin God's promises in my life. And again, I have no idea what the final outcome will be. As of right now, it could go either way. I mean, it could go a different way that I haven't even thought of. But Persis could easily just say, you know, that's it, I'm out, and leave. Or, you know, I thought today that, you know, maybe one of the things that she might be doing is she's trying to make me so miserable that she's hoping that I will divorce her. Maybe that's why she's totally disconnected and gone to her room and stays in her room. And maybe she's wanting to just have me initiate it because she's too afraid or doesn't want to be known as the one who left her husband. Maybe there's some pride that she doesn't have the courage to do what she wants to do, and she's hoping that I'll run her off. Because I do remember her one time saying, you know, hey, listen, if God tells you no, you need to walk away and send me away, don't hesitate. I mean, she said it with such sincerity, and the delusion of her mind is just unbelievable. And so, but you know, I'm not going to take any stand. I'm just going to keep waiting. My mom said to me tonight that she feels so bad. She goes, Michael, I have to tell you, I feel terrible that you're going to have to face this alone since we're leaving on Monday. My parents are going out of town for like a month. They're going on a vacation. I'm so excited for them. My stepfather has converted their brand new Toyota Sienna van into a, like a camper conversion. It's just amazing. They got a bed in there and they got room for their little toilet, and they're going to stay in it some nights, and they're taking Bella with them, and they're going to go all the way up to Maine and around all different places. And I'm so excited for them to have this time together, and they're both looking forward to it, and they've been having fun packing everything up. But tonight my mom, I could tell she's, you know, really sad. She's like, I'm so, because I've been coming out and talking with them every night and enjoying some company with them, and it's been really nice. And I said, don't worry. I said, you know, we went through this before. I'll be all right, and I'll just stay busy working, and who knows what God has planned. But at some point, when God is ready to move me, something has to change. If he's going to move me to Texas or move me to the other place, whatever's going to happen, God, something's going to have to change with Persis. She's either going to have to suit up and come with me, or she's going to have to depart. She'll now be in the way of God's calling. And she already knows that I'm being called to move, and she's welcome to come. And if she doesn't want to come, she doesn't have to. My parents have offered for her to stay living with them. But I'm going to go where Father calls me to go, with or without my wife. And so I hope she comes. But I'm also at this place where I have let her go so much that I can live without my wife. And she can just go and whatever she needs to do. I mean, of course, I'll be sad, but there's this disconnect in my heart from her. I feel it. I still believe that God is going to turn this around, that God is going to bring her to repentance. But at the same time, like I've mentioned earlier in this recording, that's the outcome that all of us want when we think of what we're going through in our lives. We all want to see it turn around, the cancer diagnosis completely gone, the tumor vanishes, the alcoholic gets back to life, and you know, the kids come back home, and everything's just perfect, heaven on earth. And that is not the life of a true Christ follower. That is not the reality. That is so abnormal for the lives of some of God's best. On the contrary, it's mostly suffering, disappointment, unmet expectations, shattered dreams, broken hearts, suffering. So there again, I start thinking how no matter what, everything has to be held loosely. Just as Corrie Ten Boom told Chuck Swindoll, are those your kids, Mr. Swindoll? Be sure to hold them loosely so that if God ever has to take them away from you, he doesn't have to pry off your fingers. And, you know, I don't want to think that God has to do that with my wife. It doesn't make sense to me, but I don't want to understand it. And you know something else that's so remarkable is this email that came from Austin Sparks today, he talked about those who would really push into the deep grace of God, those who God knew would go with him all the way, and those who push in all the way are going to have completely abnormal, unthinkable, bewildering, misunderstanding circumstances in their life. Pushing on, pressing forward, and you will experience some extraordinarily weird and odd things. And I thought, man, and he talks about how Satan will come and attack more and more, that the more a person pushes in to have all the grace of Christ and to be filled more and more with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's more at work, the more they will see the onslaught of the enemy. And I'm noticing the attacks in my life and my heart are just getting higher and higher, to the point where, being completely transparent, how I felt for the previous 18 hours, and I felt a release, I would say, within the last 6 hours, I felt a lift. But in that previous 18 hours, the strikes were so hard, the torments were so heavy, and felt so real and so painful, and they felt like they would last so long, I felt myself wanting to say, I don't want any more of this. I literally could feel myself saying, God, if it gets worse from here, I don't want any more of this. I don't want these torments. I was so tormented thinking about giving up my wife and the reality of her going away dead, and so upset that I could get to a place where she's gone in my heart, that I'm willing to let her go and realize that she's gone, and to be thinking about having another wife. I just, the idea of getting to that place was so tormenting, in despair. It was horrible. And I remember feeling like, Lord, I don't want any more. It's like, I'm done. It's like, I remember one time I got into a fight with this kid. He was like 2 feet taller than I was. It was when I worked at the skating rink in Albertville, Alabama, Mega Skate, years ago when I was in high school. I was probably in the 11th grade of high school. And I worked with his girlfriend. And I don't remember what I did to make him so mad. I don't remember if I had flirted with his girlfriend or just done something to make her upset or make him upset. I don't remember what happened, but he came up to that skating rink and he was ready to just beat me to a pulp. And he waited for me until after the session closed. It was probably like on a afternoon skate, because I remember it was light when we went outside. And when I went outside, he waited this whole time for me. He was waiting there. And I was like, well, I'm going to have to get into this fight. There's just no doubt about it. I'm not going to get it. I can't talk myself out of this one. And so it wasn't the first fight, but it was probably the biggest fight I'd ever been in. And I remember, I was like, okay, this kid's like 2 feet taller than me, but he's kind of skinny. But man, I mean, I'm just going to do whatever I can. And boy, these Alabama rednecks, you know, and I wasn't an Alabama redneck. So I remember just putting my head down and just hitting him as hard as I possibly could. Man, we were just beating each other senseless, man. Just slinging as hard as we could. Bam, 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 bam. And I was just in there hitting him, and he's hitting me. And I don't remember any major blows. Neither one of us got knocked out. But man, I just remember having my head down, and I was swinging and hitting him as hard as I could. And then somebody came and broke it up. And the next thing I know, we're kind of being pulled apart. We're standing there apart. And they're telling us, you know, get off the property or get out of here or whatever. And he's like, come on, man, this ain't finished yet. Let's go up the street and finish this, man. And I said to him, no, man, I'm done. I'm out. I've had enough. I'm too tired. You win. Something to that effect. I'm like, man, I'm out. I'm tired of this. I just didn't want to fight anymore. It was painful. I wasn't really good at it. But man, I know I got in some blows on him because I was still standing and he was still standing. But we were just trying to beat the snot out of each other. And I'm lucky I didn't get, you know, really, really damaged or hurt in some way. And thanks be to God. But I just was like, done. I'm like, that was too painful. I don't want to go do round two. I'm not a fighter. And I felt like that today, where I said, God, I don't want to do this anymore. If it just gets worse beyond this, because in the moment it was so intense. Like, I can't see any hope. I couldn't see 6 hours that I'd be having relief if I just stand, and I won't be having this pressure and these tormenting thoughts and having to pull off on the side of the road this morning to try to capture my thoughts about this, because it's on me. And I remember going, Lord, this is almost too costly. I don't want to keep suffering like this. You know, and again, that only happened for a moment because I'm willing to suffer. Clearly, I've been doing it for 7 years. I've been suffering on behalf of this ministry, and I'm seeing more and more of the, you know, it's interesting. Like, my mom texts me 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9 today. And I said, Mom, I texted her a picture of a lady who sent me that same scripture last night, who had been watching the apostate bride of Christ. And she sent me this. She said, thank you for laying your life down as an example for us. And it's this passage of scripture that says, for it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle or a show to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are so strong. You are honored. We are dishonored. And then he goes, to this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are homeless. We are brutally treated, so forth and so on. We're in rags. I see that that's exactly kind of like what's been happening with me. It's like I told my mom and my parents a couple of days ago, I said, guys, it's like God is making me an example of suffering. It's like I'm like a part of the Shakespeare tragedy that God is writing for a certain group of contemporary Christians to watch. It's like literally I have been put on display to suffer before, you know, a few thousand people in some kind of a show. And I am suffering on behalf of them. And I want to continue to be willing to suffer. But today I was like, I was ready to, you know, quit in a few moments. I'm like, God, I can't do this anymore. This is, if it's going to get worse from here. And I know the suffering will get worse. I know there'll be big battles. I know there'll be constant strikes ahead. And I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and that I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And he has, and I thank him for it. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. This is real, and it's amazing to me how different you can feel if you'll just stand for a few more hours. And I thank God for the 666 today, and, you know, seeing Satan double up with these comments from these poor young people that are deceived by this cult girl. Oh, it's just horrible to see. That breaks my heart, and they're so convinced that I'm now the devil because she's brainwashed them, and they're sending all kinds of comments, and you're this and you're that and a hypocrite and false, and you do this and you do that. And I just, oh Lord, help them. And so I just had to write, take care guys, you know. But I love seeing the timing of Satan's attacks. I don't love his attacks, but I love seeing the timing of them. I'm just going to continue to hang in there. I'm going to go sleep tonight in peace and just continue to wait. I'm still waiting.
This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. If you say it's wrong, then I'll say no. If you say release, I'm letting go. If you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, then I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. Felt like a burden, but once I could grasp it, you took me further, further than I was asking. And simply to see you, it's worth it all. My life is an altar. Let your fire.
just sing it out. Is gone. When all hope is gone and your word is all I've got, I have to believe you still bring water from the rock to satisfy my thirst, to love me at my word. Even when I don't remember, you remind me of my word. I don't trust my ways, I'm trading in my thoughts. I lay down everything, 'cause you're all that I want. I've landed on
trust, I will obey. You're